Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
If we could start off, today's message, I entitled it Baby Steps. And what I want to talk about this morning is just that, baby steps. Is our spiritual growth, is our process. We talk about our Christian walk and we use terms like our walk with the Lord, our growth, and that's we're all going through that. We're all continually growing in our walk with the Lord. And we call that, there's some long terms for that, but the church uses the term sanctification. Anybody heard of that term, sanctification? So sanctification, we look at and just summarize, the term sanctification means continuing of what has begun in regeneration. And another definition is continued work of the Holy Spirit. That's sanctification. That's growth. We are constantly growing. We are constantly moving closer in our walk with God. So if I could ask everybody, I just want to pray for this morning. I want to pray for us that whatever we share this morning, whatever we talk about, that we have an open heart to receive whatever God has for us. So God, I pray right now, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, and I thank you for this great church family. God, we've come here for the last 4.5 years, and we have grown so close to so many people here. This is our church family here in Wyoming. And God, I pray right now this morning, Lord, as I stand up here, a little nervous, a little humbled at this opportunity. God, I pray that each and every one of our hearts will be open to receive what you have for us. God, speak to us in a powerful way. God, help us to leave here differently than what we came in. Because it's not by anything I say, it's not by anything we do, it's by the work of your Holy Spirit. The power of your Holy Spirit speaking to us and changing us from the inside. We thank you, God, and we give you all the glory for it in your name. Amen. Amen. What I want to do this morning is I like to do character studies. I'm a counselor by profession. I'm a therapist by profession. So we do a lot of case studies. We like to do a lot of character studies. That's just what we do. So what I want to do this morning is I want to do a character study on Peter. Peter is a guy's guy. Peter is, when you look at Peter and you read about Peter, this guy was just, he was not a Superman by any means. He made a lot of mistakes. He did a lot of mess ups. And Jesus continued to work with him. And we see throughout the New Testament, we see the process of Peter's growth. And what I want to do this morning with that, I want to parallel a lot of it with my own personal growth as a believer. Like I said, many of you know me. And those that really know me, I had to tell you before the service, there's no heckling in church, because I'm pretty sure heckling someone while they're speaking is wrong. I'm not going to mention any names, Henry Silva, but just saying, those closest to me are more apt to heckle me, which I don't understand that, but let's just leave it at that. Just kidding. But what I want to share, though, is aside from learning, hopefully learning a little bit more about Peter and seeing how Peter's life applies to us, maybe we leave here and get to know me a little bit better as well. There's going to be a lot of transparency this morning. And I'm looking at the clock, and I'll make sure that transparency goes really quick. I think Josh said I had until like 12 or something. No, I'm just totally kidding. But I love the agreeable nod. Say, yeah, sure, whatever. No, I'll have you out of here on time, but there's going to be some transparency. You're going to learn a little more about me in the process. So starting off, when we're talking about baby steps, and the reason I talk about baby steps is because sometimes our growth, we're jumping from mountaintop to mountaintop, or sometimes we're baby stepping it through a valley. And some seasons are long of mountaintop jumping, and some seasons are really long of baby stepping through valleys. So when I'm doing this message, and the more I'm preparing and I'm getting this ready, and I'm nerves are starting to build up a little bit, but the more I'm getting excited, because the purpose of, I'm reflecting back on what God's done in my life and the areas of the most growth in my life, I'm getting excited because I'm seeing what God has done. And I'm getting excited, just passionate about remembering the different cool things that God's done in my life. So talking about baby steps, when I was 19 years old, that's the day that I accepted Christ as my Savior. All through high school, childhood, we didn't go to church. My family wasn't a Christian family. And I didn't get saved until 19 years old. And it was because of a guy that I worked with at a hotel. I waited tables. Now, some days were good, some days were not so good, waiting tables in a hotel restaurant. But it was hard work. And I worked with a guy who just was, he was a student at Evangel University in Springfield, Missouri, and he was a good guy. And he was somebody that just always had such a good attitude. There was something there that I could recognize that I didn't have. Has anybody ever waited tables? What does it mean? Does anybody know what it means when you go to pick up your tip that there's a penny in a glass? Does anybody know what that means? It's really almost like getting a dirty gesture from the customer. It's not a good thing. And I again, transparency, there was a couple of times I got a penny in a glass. I was devastated. And I come in, I'm like, man, what a jerk. Just this attitude. And this guy I work with, granted, he got less of those than I did at times, but he came in when it happened, he had such a good attitude. And this guy was, I credit to this day, 25 some odd years later, I credit this individual as being instrumental in me giving my heart over to Jesus Christ. I was 19 years old. I was at my house sitting at the dining room table. No one else was home. And I say this, and this has only happened like this probably about 5 times in my entire life. I prayed one prayer, the only prayer I ever knew how to pray, and it was one sentence. Because I didn't know how to pray. I mean, as a kid, I prayed, you know, God, protect me from the monsters under my bed. God, help me get a lot of candy during Halloween. God, you know, all these little, but not sincere. They were like those little genie prayers. Had no idea what I was doing. There wasn't anything heart with it. But when I was 19 years old, sitting at my kitchen table, I said, God, if you're real, make yourself known. And when I prayed that prayer, I'm not exaggerating, it's almost like time slowed down, and a light came on, and I could, it just transformed my life from that point on. Now, not everything transformed instantly, and that's what we're going to talk about. I'm still baby stepping, but at that point, that was that first moment that my life completely transformed, because God knew in my stubborn mind I needed something that bold to happen for me to turn my life over to Christ. And again, I've had people witness to me when I was in high school. There was kids that would come up and talk to, they always pointed at the kids that got in trouble the most, that were in detention a lot. I'm not saying that was me. I'm saying maybe it could have been. Whatever. But there was always these kids, one kid in particular that was just so bold, and every time I would see him walk toward me in the hallway, it'd be like, oh boy, and I'd start walking the other way, and he always came up and says, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. And a lot of times I wasn't the most receptive or polite young man. Sometimes I was quite mean as a 16, 17-year-old teenager, and someone's trying to witness to me. Keep that in mind, because that's going to come back here in a little bit. So as we talk about Peter, and we talk about the transformation that's going on in our lives, and we talk about baby steps, and we start looking at Peter, in Matthew 16, 13 through 18, sanctification, for one thing, the first point, starts or begins where we are. Sanctification or growth begins where we are. There's no prerequisite. There's no entrance exam. That's the great thing about God. There's no entrance exam. I didn't have to do anything special. There's no background checks, no nothing to be a part of God's kingdom, to be part of the family of God. And Peter, when Jesus was talking to him in Matthew 16, 13 through 18, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Peter was a stubborn, strong-headed, impulsive, quick-tempered guy. He was definitely not one. If he were to turn in a resume to work at a church, he probably would be overlooked. Let's be honest. We read the Gospels, we see Peter's behavior, we see the things that Peter would say, and Peter, more times than not, had his foot in his mouth, and he got himself in trouble for it, right? So Peter is one, but he said this, and Jesus said, this is the statement, this is where it begins. Your declaration of who I am, that's where it all begins. And we look at more of Peter. And we look at the things that Peter did in spite of that in Matthew 14, walking on water. Remember that story where Jesus is walking on water? And my imagination sometimes flows when I'm reading scripture and I'm trying to picture what was it like. And Jesus is walking on water and he's approaching this boat. And everybody in the boat is scared, thinking it's a ghost. But when he gets closer, Jesus reveals to him who it is. And Peter says, Jesus, say the word and I will come out. And I will walk with you. Peter was the one to stand up and say, just say the word, man. I'm out there and I'll walk with you. And Jesus says, all right, come on out. So Peter climbed out of the boat and he starts walking on the water with Jesus. But all of a sudden the waves got higher. A Casper wind starts blowing. Peter gets a little freaked out and he starts sinking. And he's like, Lord, help me. And Jesus picks him up and pulls him out and puts him back on the boat. Another example where Peter is with the disciples, and Jesus comes up with a basin and a towel, and he's ready to wash the disciples' feet. Remember that? And Peter's like, what are you doing? And Jesus says, I'm getting ready to wash your feet. I'm paraphrasing, by the way, in case you haven't noticed. And Peter's like, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus is saying, this has to be done. This is an example. We're here to serve, not to be served. This has to be done. And then Peter says, well, I tell you what, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands, my head, my whole body. And Jesus is like, no, just the feet. Thanks, but just the feet. Because Peter is just like, man, if I'm in, I'm all in. And sometimes I'll say things and I'll just get myself in trouble. When Jesus is being arrested in the garden, what does Peter do when the guards come? Wax off a guard's ear. When Jesus prophesied his betrayal, what does Peter do? I will never betray you. I will die before I betray you. What happens? Peter denied him 3 times. And we look at that, and we're like, man, upon his statement, God built the church. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Peter said that. But in the midst of all that, Peter still made so many huge screw-ups. But we can't judge Peter too much, because when I was going through this and I was looking at all this and all the shortcomings that Peter had and all the personality stuff that Peter had, it was me all over. It was me all over the place. After I got saved, I started going to this small church in Springfield, Missouri. One of the coolest pastors I've ever met, 70-some-year-old man. When he was pastor at the time, him and his wife are both with the Lord now. But he was so powerful in just coaxing me in and letting me in. And I was one of those new Christians who asked probably some of the most inappropriate questions in the middle of Sunday school class. Or was just constantly asking and constantly very rough around the edges. I wasn't churchified yet. Does everybody know what I mean? I didn't know all the jargon. I didn't say all the right things. I was very... very new, and I had a lot of questions. And probably about a year, year and a half after I gave my heart to the Lord, something very unusual happened to me. God called me to go to Bible school. In my mind, I was still a new Christian. And I didn't understand this. And in Springfield, Missouri, there was a school, Central Bible College. Anybody ever heard of it? Woohoo! My wife went to Evangel. I went to CBC, yet we still got married. It's like a Romeo and Juliet thing. It was really beautiful. Now, CBC joined Evangel, so it's all Evangel now. So, yeah, she reminds me of that a lot. But God called me to Bible school, and I didn't understand why. And I remember my first day in class. It was 7:30 in the morning. I don't know why they had classes at 7:30 in the morning. But I'm sitting there, and it was a New Testament class. And I'm sitting there, and all these kids are coming in that were, like, talking about being JBQ national champions, pastors' kids, missionaries' kids. And they're all in there, and they're just, it's like a reunion. And I'm sitting there, fairly new Christian, feeling the most insecure that I ever could have in my life. And these guys, these guys, they were good. Everybody was real friendly. But I felt so insecure. I felt like I was in the wrong place. And even as a believer, as a Christian, I'm like, I'm not sure this is right. I felt so uncertain because I didn't meet, in my mind, I didn't fit the standard. I didn't fit the criteria of a Christian. Because I was so rough. I didn't know anything. And Peter was the same way. And as God continued to deal with me and continued to teach me, and it was so encouraging how the Holy Spirit so gently reminded me, it's not about what you've done. It's not about what you do prior. It's about me calling you and me working with you and me saving you. That's what it's about. When Peter denied Christ 3 times, Christ reinstated him. And you remember how he reinstated him? He stood there and he sat there with Peter and he was talking to him and he asked him, what did Jesus ask Peter 3 times? Do you love me? It's not a coincidence that he asked him 3 times. Peter denied him 3 times. Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me? And Peter's like, yes, Lord, you know I do. You know I do. Peter didn't make excuses. Peter owned what he did. And sometimes when I make mistakes, I like to find excuses of why I was justified in making those mistakes. I know I'm the only one who does that, so I'm not going to ask for hands. But I find, and God have mercy on me sometimes. Sometimes I use spirituality to justify my mistakes. And I can easily justify. Peter owned it. Peter hung his hat exactly what he needed to hang it on. He owned it. He regretted it. He repented. And he was reinstated. And we look at this when we look at Scripture, we looked at sanctification and where it starts and when it begins where we are, we don't have to do anything special to be adopted into God's family. I didn't have to be a JBQ champion. I didn't have to be a pastor's kid. I didn't have to be a missionary kid. I didn't have to have read the Bible through and through to be accepted into God's family. My growth started then. And then God sanctified me and is still sanctifying me. Which brings us to the second thing, is that sanctification begins and progresses through trials. So begins where we are, but it progresses through trials. Anybody here ever have a really bad spiritual day? Anybody here have a really bad spiritual year? And it's those trials that we go through that absolutely teaches us the most powerful lessons. For me personally, again, you don't have to say anything. For me personally, the most unforgettable lessons that I've ever learned, I did not learn through a really good sermon. I didn't learn through reading a really cool Christian living book. I didn't learn it from a conference. I learned through tragedy. I learned it through struggles. And we look at Peter and we look at the things that he's gone through, and he looked at when, before Jesus went up back into heaven, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But we see Peter's growth through that, through the book of Acts and the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached to thousands and 5,000 people got saved. And in my mind, again, it's not in there. This is just my imagination. I'm picturing some of the people that he denied Jesus in front of, some of the people that were pressuring him about, hey, you were the guy with Jesus. You were one of those disciples. They were one. Some of those guys were the ones that were some of the ones that got saved when Peter preached to 5,000. Again, that's just my imagination. I think it would be cool. But we do know in Scripture, 5,000 people got saved, and Peter stood up and he was preaching to thousands of people, filled with the Holy Spirit. And one time, Peter was still healing the sick. He was praying for people. People were lame that were walking. Lepers were being cleansed. And the religious leaders were telling Peter, you better knock it off. This is the same guy that denied Jesus in front of a child, a slave girl in a courtyard. Now religious leaders are telling him, you better knock it off and you better shut up. Stop. And he didn't, and he got arrested. And this was after John the Baptist got beheaded, so he knew what was at stake. And he got arrested and thrown in prison, and God sent an angel of the Lord to deliver him from prison and walked him out. And the disciples were shocked. They were freaking out. They were thrilled, but they were just shocked. So we're seeing Peter's boldness, and we're seeing him grow. And then we look in Galatians chapter 2. We don't have to turn there. I'll just reference it. But Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, we see old Peter start creeping up. And when I'm going through this, I'm looking, I'm thinking, you know, there are temptations and challenges that I had when I first became a Christian 20-some years ago that I don't necessarily struggle with now. I struggle with all new stuff now. But there's some things that the devil knows are sore spots, and he attacks them. Can anybody relate to that? Is that spiritual warfare? We're constantly in, and Satan knows those little spots, and he goes in and he just pries and he pokes at them. Paul was a believer at this point. And he's sitting with this group of Gentiles and Jewish people. And of course, there was this whole thing, you know, Gentiles were the unclean, the Jewish people were God's chosen. So some people were kind of confused why the gospel is being preached to Gentiles, because they can't have the same religious or the same relationship with God as we can. But Peter was there, and Peter was eating with a group of Gentiles. And Peter was there watching them, and they were fellowshipping, having a good time. All of a sudden, the cool kids walk into the cafeteria. Again, this is a little different. I'm paraphrasing, but it's the same idea. Follow along here. The cool kids walk into the cafeteria, or it's where they're eating. Peter's sitting with this group of Gentiles. He sees these Jewish leaders coming in. You know what he does? He leaves. He gets his tray, leaves the table to go sit someplace else. He separates himself from, I didn't know if they were eating a tray again, imagination. But he leaves. And Paul sees this. He's like, what are you doing? This is the guy that preached to thousands. This is the guy that was threatened to be killed. This is the guy that was in prison. But all of a sudden, he's intimidated by these guys coming. He's like, gets up and leaves. And Paul calls him on it. So this old Peter, this little area in Peter's life starts creeping back. And I look at my life, and I look at some of these things that I thought, man, I've overcome. I've conquered it. I'm done. I'm not done. All of a sudden, in the most unexpected, inopportune time, Satan starts attacking me with something that I haven't been attacked with for 10, 15 years. I'm like, are you serious? When after I was finished with Bible school and I met this girl who I knew was totally out of my league, and I know she's still totally out of my league, which is why I have to do these, you know, little videos. You guys really helped me out. Thanks again. We moved to Saipan, and we worked at a church. We youth pastored in this little island by Guam called Saipan. I was the youth pastor and the chaplain at the school for about 4 years. And then we moved to Illinois, where I youth pastored for a couple of years at this church. During this time, in a five-year period, and all this time I'm always counseling with kids, I'm working with kids, praying for them. They're questioning their faith, and I'm praying for them and telling them to stand fast, stand strong. They're going through tragedy. They've experienced trauma, and I'm praying for them. And I always had the right answers. for the most part. It was always pray, you know, and be strong, and come and talk, we'll pray. During the five-year period of Caroline and my life, before our boys were born, we had, my father passed away. I had an aunt who was like a grandmother. She passed away. My brother passed away. My mother passed away. All in about a five-year span. So all of a sudden, I'm facing the same questions that these kids that I work with are asking. The same challenges, the same things, the same thinking. You know, I've been a Christian for years. I'm not going to question the existence of God. I'm not going to question my faith. I'm beyond that. I'm a spiritual man. I don't have that same issue that these new Christians have. Garbage. I had it. And God took my arrogance and threw it in the toilet. Because I had those same questions. I hadn't, and I'll never be where I don't have those same challenges. And I learned a valuable lesson during those times. That, and looking back now, and I think all of us can look at, we can look back now and we can see all these tragedies that we've experienced in our lives. We can see God's fingerprints all over them. God's footprints, God's fingerprints all over these situations. And we got through that. God brought us through that. And we're also, during that time, we were also going to the doctor. We were looking at, you know, we were looking at adoption, because we tried for like 10 some odd years to have kids, and we just wouldn't have. We were going to doctors, getting tested. And during this time when, you know, my family members were passing away, and I was in graduate, I was going to evangel in graduate school at the time, and it was just a lot. So we went hiking. I hiked a lot more than I do now. We don't have to judge. It is what it is. But we went hiking, and Caroline was like complaining of being real tired. So we left, and then we went to Walmart, because that's where, you know, that's where you go after you go hiking. You go to Walmart. And we go in, and she's like, oh, what is that smell? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because we go in, and we always smell like rotisserie chicken, because then it's always like, hey, we don't have to cook. Let's just pick one of those up, and that's dinner. And she's like, what is that smell? Reeks. I'm like, So I said, and this is, we've done pregnancy tests over and over and over. And again, I'm sharing this. This is God's awesomeness. God's awesomeness. So I said, why don't we pick up a test? And she's like, I don't want to do that. It's been too much bad. I don't want to do that. And this is a time of our life where we're just really struggling. It's another negative would just be too much right now. So I kept on. I said, let's do it anyway. So we did, went home, and it was negative. And I'm sitting there, she's in the kitchen doing something, and I could see that she was tearful and crying. And of course I was struggling, because I'm like, this is my fault. She didn't want to do this. So God, and this is the third time that God spoke real clearly to me. And he didn't say exactly like this, but this is how he said, hey, genius, why don't you go read the instructions on the test again? See, here's the thing. Can I be transparent? We're all family, right? Are you okay? If you're not, put your fingers in your ears. We were doing a lot of ovulation tests as well, and pregnancy tests. By the way, for those that don't know, you read the ovulation test opposite than the pregnancy test. They're read differently. And I didn't know that. If you knew that, just keep it to yourself. I don't need to feel more stupid than I already did at the time. So I got up and I read it, and I'm like, I said, Caroline, why don't we, I think this says positive. I think we completely misread this thing. And then she starts getting super excited, and then I'm like, let's wait. So I did what every rational person would do. I ran to Walmart and got three more tests. And we did it again when we got home, then we did it again first thing in the morning, then we did again later on, all of them positive. 9 months later, Liam comes. That is a huge deal, because we were so desperate to have kids. And we were just going through so much tragedy. And through that tragedy, I'll tell you what, I've learned more about God's faithfulness than I have from any Christian life book or any great conference. I mean, those add to that, of course. But through those tragedies, through those trials, God's faithfulness had been manifested so strongly in my life. And I grew in those 5 years. In the time, I had no idea, but I grew in those 5 years. And I grew more than I could have ever even imagined. I am never done growing. I will continue to grow. I will continue to grow through trials. I will continue to grow through tragedies. I can't help that, but how I handle, how I interpret those, how I deal with those are going to be key. I have to hold on to God. God brought me through some strong insecurities when I was in Bible school. He brought me through, you know, tragedies in my family. He brought me through all these things. And I learned God's faithfulness. I learned God's power all through those times. And I know there's other people here that can relate to that. The last part, and again, I'm watching the clock, and I'm really glad it's big because I'm looking at the bottom part of my glasses or the top part, so I can see it real clearly. So sanctification or growth ends in glory. That's when our growth stops. For me, that's when it's going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I'm never at the place where I'm there. And Peter, through all these tragedies, and Peter, through all these mix-ups, these mess-ups, and these victories, there was a time when Peter's growth stopped, and it's the same that when ours will. And that's what makes Christianity so great. It's never boring because we're never going to stop learning. We're never going to stop growing. If it gets boring, then at some point, we've stopped seeking more. We've stopped wanting more whenever it gets boring. And we never can do that. We can never grow stagnant in our faith. And Peter didn't. And we look at Peter. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Sanctification starts where we are. Sanctification progresses through trials, and sanctification ends in glory. Years ago, when I first became a Christian, I bought a book. Has anybody here ever heard of DC Talk? Really? Nice. I wasn't going to divide you up in ages and stuff because I thought that would be kind of not nice and it would make me feel older. But years ago, DC Talk came out with a song called Jesus Freaks. And it's pretty strong sounding name for a song, but it talks about people who have stood up against anything and stood up against trials and struggles to stand up for Christ, to stand up for God in spite of the opposition. And they partnered with a group called the Voice of the Martyrs. The Voice of the Martyrs is an organization that supports, prays, and does things for the persecuted church and all over the world. And there's still persecution going all over the world. People are still giving their lives up for their faith all over the world. And statistically, they say more people are being persecuted and dying for their faith more now than during the Roman Empire. So they partnered with a group to raise money and to raise awareness, and they came out with two volumes. This is the first one, and I brought this because I wanted to read an account from an early historian that talked about Peter's martyrdom. See, we first started talking about Peter. This is the guy that was, you know, telling Jesus to, you know, "Don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body." Or, "Help me, I'm starting to sink in the water." Or whacking off guards' ears because they're there to arrest Jesus. I mean, impulsive, angry guy. and then deny Jesus three times when he was confronted by children in a courtyard. And then he was preaching to thousands. And then he shied away from Gentiles. But then he continued to preach. He continued to grow. Peter, it wasn't the end of his story. Peter did phenomenal things for God. Just like each and every one of us have the same spirit dwelling inside of us that Peter had dwelling inside of him. When we had those awesome messages, when God was speaking to us this morning, the Bible says where two or more are gathered, there I am also. We don't have to do anything special to invite God's presence. God is here already. God's presence here, the very God who created the universe, spoke it into existence, is here with us right now. And the very one that anointed Peter to preach to thousands and thousands got saved is the same spirit that dwells inside of us. It's the same anointing that all of us can have. So we read about Peter, and this is when his growth stopped. From the early Christian historian, Hegesippus, pretty sure I mispronounced that horribly, we learn that Peter eventually traveled to Rome to minister in his old age. Nero determined to have him executed, but the disciples there heard about it and urged Peter to flee. Though resistant at first, Peter eventually gave in, but as he approached the city gate, he saw Jesus walking in the other direction. Peter fell to his knees and said, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "I have come to be crucified again." Peter took this to mean that it was his time to die, just as Jesus had prophesied to him in John 21:19. So he returned to the city, and upon being captured and sentenced to be crucified, Peter announced that he was not worthy to be crucified in the same position as his Savior, and he requested to die on the cross upside down. The Romans honored his request. In 2 Peter 1, 12-14, it says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me." We are constantly in a state of growth. We are constantly in a state of growing as a believer, growing as a Christian. And we are constantly reminded that we don't go through this walk by ourselves. You might be in a season in your life where you're jumping from mountaintop to mountaintop. You may be in a season where you are baby stepping it through a valley. And this season has been going on for a long time. I intentionally wanted to parallel my own walk as much as I can with the life of Peter, because it's no different. God walks through these valleys. God walks through these times with all of us, just the same as he walked with Peter. He walked with Paul. He walked with these great men of Scripture, as he's walked with me. We don't have to walk through these things alone. We don't go through this growth process by ourselves. So I want to ask right now, as we kind of close up, I want to ask some of you to think about something. So I'd like everybody just to bow your head, close your eyes and bow your head. In the beginning, we prayed, just open our hearts to receive what you have for us. And right now, I believe some of you have walked into this room and God, the Holy Spirit, already started talking to you. God spoke to you the minute you walked through these doors. And I want to ask right now, if you came in here and you felt like you've been walking through these valleys by yourself, you've been baby stepping by yourself. And when I was 19, the same, you know, I was looking at, you know, other believers that I worked with and realized they have something I don't have. And maybe you came in this morning and you realized, you know, I'm missing something in my life. If that's you, I just want to give out this invitation right now. If that's you, while people are praying, if you came in and you never received Christ as your Savior, you've never asked Jesus into your life, I'm going to ask you, just slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand. If you feel like you walk through these things by yourself and you just feel like you're missing something in your life, just slip up your hand. Next question I want to ask, and this is for everybody. We need to pray for each other. Again, we never stop growing. We're being sanctified daily. The Holy Spirit's going to continue to work in our lives and continue to help. We need to pray for each other because we don't know what valley, we don't know what mountaintop, we don't know what situation that each of us are going through, and we just need to pray for each other. So I'm going to ask all of us, just let's stand up, and I want to pray for all of you. If we could just stand, and I want to pray for each and every one of you. And maybe you're sitting next to somebody, or you're standing next to somebody, and you know that that person needs prayer. Maybe you know what situations they're going through. And I would also ask you guys to pray for me. We just need this time where we just pray for each other. So, Lord, I pray right now for each and every person in this room, God. And I pray, Lord, for whatever they're going through right now, God, whatever valley they might be walking through, whatever, even if they're on a mountaintop right now, every mountaintop has a valley. And, God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just minister to them, help them through these situations that they might be going through. God, that you would just minister strength to them. That we might not see it when we're in the situation, but we can look back and we can see your fingerprints over every situation that we've been in. And God, I pray right now, Lord, for each person. God, in this room, each person, worker upstairs, each child upstairs, person in the prayer room, the worship team, God, everyone, I just pray right now, God, that you would just minister to them. And God, if someone in this room is standing next to someone who they know they need prayer through this time, and they're going through a baby stepping season, God, pray for them. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. We don't thank you for what you've, not just thank you for what you've done, because we do thank you for that, God, but we also thank you for what you're going to do. We praise you, God.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.